This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It is the 29th of June 2011 here in Japan, and today I'm talking with Michael Badnarik, a writer, researcher, lecturer, and constitutional scholar who is available at constitutionpreservation.org. And Michael Badnarik, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you on the program today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, the pleasure is all mine, let me assure you, because as many of my listeners will know, I've played some of your excerpts from your Constitution class on my podcast before to display some of the valuable insights in there. I think some really, really interesting stuff that I've heard. But I'm sure there are some people in the audience who probably haven't heard of you yet or aren't really familiar with what you do. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do at constitutionpreservation.org.
I started studying the Constitution in about 1982, discovered very quickly that most of what the government does is unconstitutional, and about 12 years ago I began teaching an eight-hour class on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, focusing primarily on the difference between rights and privileges. We, the people, have individual rights granted to us by our Creator, and we the people invent government, and we give government privileges that we can subsequently take away anytime we think that's appropriate. In the Declaration of Independence, it says that when any form of government becomes destructive of our rights, we have the right to alter or abolish that government.
Exactly right. And I think that's something that that most people don't really take to heart. I'm sure many of the Americans know that phrase, but don't really understand the meaning of it and haven't taken it on board, really. So actually, today we are coming up to the 4th of July, obviously Independence Day in the United States. And although I am a Canadian citizen living in Japan, and a lot of my listeners are from all over the world, including Germany and the Netherlands and the UK, but I'm sure everyone has at least a passing familiarity with the Declaration of Independence and its importance. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that today and to get into some of the context of how and when and why Jefferson came to write that document, the political and social context it came from, and then the ramifications of what that document really meant, not only for Americans, obviously, but for people all over the world.
Well, when Isaac Newton sat under an apple tree and had an apple fall on his head, he noticed that there was gravity and wrote a book about it. Isaac Newton didn't invent gravity. Gravity had existed long before Newton arrived. He was just, one of the few people that was smart enough to document the fact that gravity exists. The Founding Fathers likewise didn't invent liberty. They didn't invent freedom. They simply looked around at all the different forms of government possible and documented the fact that we, the people, have, unalienable rights, rights that we are born with. You didn't invent a right to life when they signed the Declaration of Independence. You didn't invent freedom of religion when they ratified the First Amendment. All of those rights existed prior to the Constitution, prior to the Bill of Rights, and the Founding Fathers, simply acknowledged the given facts. I mean, they're like laws of physics. Everyone who is alive wants to stay alive. And in fact, there is a biological imperative to stay alive. All of us have a very strong built-in self-defense instinct. And so defending yourself from other people's violence is not something that you necessarily have to learn. It's a part of each of us. And the Declaration of Independence is internationally renowned, not because the Founding Fathers were so ingenious, but because it documents information that is so fundamental to everybody. Everybody has a right to life, liberty, and property, not just those of us who, fortunate enough to live in the United States. I tell my students frequently that the people in China have a right to life, unfortunately, they don't have a constitution. They don't have a Bill of Rights. They don't have a government that respects their right to life. Well, in the United States, we do have a constitution. We do have a Bill of Rights. But we don't have a government that respects our right to life. So except for a couple pieces of paper, we're really not much better off than the people in China living under communism. So it is up to each individual person to understand life, liberty, and property, and to mentally and physically, if necessary, defend life, liberty, and property. Another quote that most people are familiar with is, "Give me liberty or give me death." And except for, you know, a clever bumper sticker or maybe a t-shirt that they wear, most people are really not in tune with what that means. Patrick Henry recognized that there are three possible conditions in life. First of all, you can live free in liberty. Secondly, you can fight and possibly die for your liberty. And third, you can just give up and live as a slave. Well, as far as Patrick Henry and I are concerned, living as a slave is not an option, which really only leaves two other alternatives, liberty or death. And so Patrick Henry was simply pointing out, you know, something as obvious as the fact that 2 + 2 = 4, or the world is round. Either you fight for your liberty or you don't have it. Well, my follow-up question to Americans, are you allowed to live in liberty today? Does the government respect your right to life, your right to make decisions about your own body? Well, I think the answer is clearly no, which only leaves one possible choice, and that is that we begin to fight and potentially die for our liberty. That's a really unfortunate circumstance. Nobody likes the answer, but if you are on the Titanic and the Titanic is sinking, you may not like the fact that you're going to have to spend several hours in a lifeboat or tread water in the frigid, you know, Atlantic, but really those are your only two choices. And bailing water is, you know, really not an option. I mean, you could, but it's not going to be very effective. So until the American people recognize what liberty and freedom really means and what the cost of that freedom really is, then we're going to continue to slide towards communism. And yes, we have, you know, the Tea Party and the Oath Keepers and, you know, numerous organizations out there that are protesting the government. So Americans are beginning to wake up to the realization that life is not as the Founding Fathers described it, but carrying signs and, you know, calling your representative in Washington really is going to have little or no effect. And we're going to have to take a more aggressive approach to restoring our liberty.
So then it would be fair to say that in your characterization is that the spirit of independence that's encapsulated by Jefferson in that document is not something that's a relic of the past or just something on a piece of paper. It's something very much that's vital to American life in the present.
If your life is important to you, I mean really important to you, then the purpose and meaning of the Declaration of Independence is eternal. Now, if you really don't mind living in a concentration camp, if you're more than happy to let the government hand you bread and, you know, have you wait in line for a pair of shoes, if you're more than willing to be on welfare and let other people decide, you know, what your standard of living is going to be, then you really don't need the Declaration of Independence. You could care less about freedom of speech because you've already accepted the fact that you are a slave. Now, in any decision about your life, either you can make that decision or the government can make the decision for you. As far as I'm concerned, I am the only person qualified to make decisions about my life. I own my body. I decide what I eat, I decide what I drink, and I decide whether or not I will get a particular vaccination. During my presidential campaign, the very first question I was asked was to give my position on mandatory government vaccinations. My answer was, you bring the syringe, I'll bring my 45, we'll see who makes a bigger hole. My body, you are not going to inject my body with some unknown substance without my permission. You know, you're the one committing an act of violence, and I am simply defending myself against that violence. So, you know, I've been teaching the Constitution for many years, and I've boiled the Constitution down to 7 words. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. And that's a universal concept. Anybody in any country that speaks any language can understand those concepts. Don't hurt me. Don't take my stuff. And that is the essence of the Declaration of Independence and the constitutional republic that the founding fathers gave us.
So what then do you make of the sentiments of people like President Bush, who said that the Constitution was just a GD piece of paper, or people like Fareed Zakaria, member of the Council on Foreign Relations, writing in Time magazine recently about how we need to revisit the Constitution because it is now over 200 years old, and the people who think that these documents really aren't eternal truths and are subject to change so much so that we actually need to revise them at this point? What do you say to that sentiment?
Well, much to everybody's surprise, I agree with George Bush. The Constitution is only a piece of paper. If you want to know how much protection the Constitution is going to give you, stand on a railroad track with a huge train coming and hold up a copy of the Constitution in front of you. And you'll discover instantly how much protection the Constitution gives you. None. Constitution is just a piece of paper. It's a piece of paper that contains ideas that I strongly support, but still, they are only ideas. If nobody reads the Constitution, nobody understands those ideas, and more to the point, if nobody stands up to defend those ideas, that it truly is just a piece of paper, and perhaps we should bury the Constitution under an Egyptian pyramid and hope that another civilization hundreds of years from now digs it up and discovers those concepts of the future, because we're clearly not using them. It's not the Constitution's job to defend you. It is your responsibility to defend the Constitution and the ideas contained therein. We are in an ideological war. It's a war of ideas. It's a war of words. And if you don't understand private property, if you don't understand individual rights, and you don't understand being self-sufficient, how are you going to defend yourself against collectivists that try to tell you that the government knows better than you, the government's decision is going to be better for your life, you just do what the government tells you to do, and everything is just going to be fine? You know, we claim to be land of the free, home of the brave. You know, every time there's a baseball game, everybody stands up to sing the national anthem. And then those same people will go to the airport, stand in line, and when the TSA officer says, well, stand inside this booth, put your hands over your head, we're going to take a naked photograph of you, they just follow orders. It's like, that's the land of the free, home of the brave. You consider yourself an independent thinker, and you're letting some, you know, two-bit bureaucrat tell you what to do at the airport? I'm ashamed of the way Americans treat the Declaration and the ideas. The founding fathers are probably turning in their graves, knowing that we've allowed the government to pass the Patriot Act, the Military Commissions Act, the Homegrown Terrorist Act. What's next? I can't believe that the United States has deteriorated this far. We've allowed the Federal Reserve to counterfeit our money since 1913. The economy is on the brink of collapse. America's going to be suffering a huge food shortage. There's going to be what they colloquially refer to as civil unrest, which in reality is rioting in the streets. We've already got an unemployment rate of approximately 20%. It's going to be worse as time goes on. And the news is filled with thoughts of raising the debt ceiling yet again. It's like, how stupid can Americans be? How complacent and apathetic do we have to be to allow our constitutional republic to be flushed down the toilet without so much as a whimper?
Absolutely. Well, as you pointed out, we've only been brought to this place because of the ignorance that has been bred into the people about these documents and the ideas contained therein. And therefore, the solution, obviously, is to learn more about how these documents were set up, what they mean, their context, how we interpret them for our daily life today, what they actually have to say to us. And thankfully, you are providing the solution to that with your courses on the Constitution and teaching about it. So unfortunately, we are pressed for time today, but perhaps just in closing, you could tell people how to find more about your work and more about the Constitution itself.
My website is constitutionpreservation.org. I encourage your listeners to download chapter 2 of my book for free. It's called Rights versus Privileges. You can watch my entire Constitution class there on the website. And once you've had that introduction, I encourage you to go to constitution.org, which is a collection of information about our founding documents that will keep you busy for years. Please don't let the fires of liberty go out on our watch. It is our responsibility to defend the Constitution. The Founding Fathers were counting on us to understand these ideas and keep the fight going. Don't let the United States turn into a communist country.
Absolutely. Well, unfortunately, we don't have time to get deeply into the ideas today, but I certainly hope that we can do so at a future time, because as I say, your take on the Constitution and the way that you teach it is so effective and so powerful. So I really hope people will check out constitutionpreservation.org, and I certainly hope we'll have the chance to speak again at more length in the future. But Michael Badnarik, thank you very much for your time today.
Yeah, thank you for giving me the opportunity.